Your wife is not Boko Haram. It's not Al-Qaeda. What kind of negotiation is that? If something is good for her, do it. If it is wrong, refuse. You can't force her to do it. I used to tell my wife something. I said, listen, if you say let us go to the right, and I say let's go to the left, it is your duty to persuade me that right is better. I said, if at the end of the day, I still insist that left is where we are going, and you insist on going to the right, I will leave you alone to go to the right, but I will go to the left. I said, do you know the reason? I said, the reason is simple. If God were to show up in judgment, and I was wrong, then I was just wrong. Do you follow my point? I said, but if God were to show up in judgment, and I was right, but I followed you to the right, God will say, like he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. That was his judgment. Go and check it. That I gave you an anointing to learn direction and be the leader. You decided in the interest of peace. I don't like noise in this house. I told my wife, if you want to make noise, make it. Oh, this guy is not afraid of noise. If I know it is right, I stick by it. If it hurts you, too bad. I will buy mentholatum and rub the place afterwards. Ask her, she never thought I was a nice guy. My wife didn't marry me because I was nice. She married me because I knew the Bible. That was the only reason. She will tell you tomorrow. I didn't agree to marry him. I just heard me say yes. That it was a miracle that she was wondering. She did not know when she had agreed. That she did not agree finish before. She said, oh boy, what happened? You want to marry this guy? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. This guy that's as dried as, you know, leather from Kano. You know that kind of thing. But she just said, but the guy in no Bible, let's go and learn some things from him. So I said then, when I say negotiate now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not okay. If you follow me here, I will follow you there. If where you say we should go is good, we will go there. If it is bad, I'm not going. You want to cry, I'll buy you a bucket. Do you understand my point? Cry inside it. I'm telling you the truth. All this interest of peace is why you lose authority in your house. Peace is good if you know how to make it. You know, I digress into that, trying to say that if you think God is going to give you a perfect woman because you are a very prayerful man, you are mistaken. He won't give you a woman that does not love God. That's one thing. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that Jacob loved God, but was a troublesome guy. You know that. He was crafty. He was shifty. If Jacob was a woman, God would have given him one husband, given her one husband that would teach the other one of going to the house of Laban. Now the house of husband she forgot. Now go to the house of Laban. They change your wages 10 times. Your stubborn soul. Now the house of husband you will go. If you love God. Your husband will tell the side, say, okay, I don't like this skirt, it's too short. Hey, that's why I like it. This thing must be long. He said, no, I'm gonna wear it like this. The guy go take scissors, cut one pair. What is it? Pair of skirts now. It's okay. It's our trouser that's in pairs. Some of the lessons in life your father couldn't teach you, you will soon marry a husband that will teach them to you. This message won't fly in America, but it's the word of God. I'm telling you the truth. Some of them, you were stubborn in the house. Your papa know if you talk, you go talk to, and your mother taught you that one. Two of you ganged up against your father. Don't worry. This one that you have given your life to Christ, your problems have begun. If you are an unbeliever, you understand? No wahala. You can join a political party and be causing problems there. But this one that you have gone to church and said, Jesus, only you I will serve. Jesus said, fine. There's one troublemaking husband he prepared long ago. But the guy is very quiet. That's the interesting part. He comes to church. Praise the Lord. He doesn't join ushers. What's his problem with being an usher? He doesn't join ushers. He comes to church, when they say, who are those who handle camera? He doesn't like any camera handling. He just sit down, JJ, Marian first. Because of your tough nature, you thought that, yes. Don't be angry. It's God that loves you. The job your father did not do because he did not know Christ well, he has now hired the guy to do it for you. The first 1 year, it's trouble in your household. But you're not used to anybody telling you what to do. Only you wake up in the morning, you're addressing your husband and say, where are you going? He said, today's Angela's maybe shower or bridal shower or baby shower, whatever. Say, you're not going. You look like what? You quickly think about your life. The last 6 years, the last 16 years, nobody has been able to tell you when to go out and when to not to go out. And the guy says you are not going and goes back into the room like saying nothing happened. Something inside your soul say, oh boy, okay, you disobey that. Wala de. But because you love God, that's what I'm talking about. Because you love God, of course, you will go to church, the word of God will be correcting you, and your husband will be making sure you hear the correction. After 2 years, when they see you, they won't believe it. This woman is the meekest of all women on the surface of the earth. What happened? She married a troublemaker. That is, you know, see, guy is cool for face, eh? God don't package some stubborn and hard spirit into some people. That's why they don't talk. It's like those who are very good in karate, they are not quick to fight. They go judging like this. Sorry. Sorry. Corner the guy first for night. When he break your back, you go not far. What am I going to say? It's the love of God. If you are an unbeliever, you know God would have done that to you. He would have left you. You would have gone wild, you know. You would have had 6 children for 8 husbands. You don't know. Because you marry one like this, after 6 months, you realize I can't stay here. What is going to happen to all those people you watch on TV, all those divorce? Control is not part of their lives. They don't understand it. They don't understand it. But don't forget what I said. It's because of what? The love of God. As it works for men, it works for women. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So, guys, you have prayed. Doesn't mean you marry a perfect woman. I don't know what brought me to this today, but you have to hear it. You have prayed. Doesn't mean anything like that. Because of your prayer, because like I said to you, God loves not only you. He loves somebody else. So you are an instrument. That's the word I want to use. You are an instrument in the hands of God to use to express his love to somebody else. Like, you know, you heard me say it before. Some people said, I like that girl, but I'm not feeling married. I'm waiting for her. She has too many responsibilities. If you ever hear a man say that, just know he's an irresponsible man. He will never do well in life. Listen, why God said you marry her is because he knows you have strength, you have power. You understand my point? You are anointed. He will give you the means and the resources. He loves that girl as much as he loves you. What's wrong with your head? Okay, how will she? You have said it with your own mouth now. Some people's mouths will stand in judgment against them if they are not careful. You have said it now that responsibilities are too plenty for one person. What should a good Christian do? Help carry. I'm looking for who doesn't have responsibility. It's good now. After all, you're an irresponsible man. Same thing with women too. Looking for a husband that can take care of me. I'm a project, an assignment. God will use you as an instrument to reform somebody's life also. Are you getting my point? Yes. So a woman is too emotional and needs a man who is strong. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You know, we have to compliment one another. So listen, the fact that you are going through tough times in life, trying times, it does not at all mean that God did not hear that prayer. When God spoke to Jesus, he found himself in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When God spoke to Moses, he found himself in the wilderness for the next 40 years, wondering what he's doing here. Now, I've gotten back to my message now. When God is silent, God spoke to him once, and that's it. He didn't hear anything again. 1 year, God will soon talk. 5 years, will they wait? 10 years, I said, God, don't forget. You know, at this time, he said, pray, you will pray, you will pray until you begin to connect with heaven. And then when you get into heaven, let me tell you the other side of the story. 9 times out of 10, you will pray, 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 you will fall asleep. You hear what I said? When you wake up, you will continue praying. After a while, you will talk to yourself the truth. Say, well, go and read the Bible. That's a quicker way to connect with heaven. He said, no, it's because we're not speaking in tongues. Should I tell another side of the story? You will speak in tongues until you find that you are speaking your native language. That is, the tongues of angels go finish. I think that because of that, God will talk. The Lord said, I'm not planning to say anything. The time I spoke to Moses, he was tending sheep and he was looking around and something caught his attention. When I talked to Jeremiah, he rejected the talk at the beginning himself. Said, God, are you sure you got the address right? Can't you see how young I am? All this on practice, when you pray long enough, God will speak to you. It's a lie. Let me say it to you straight. What did I say? A fat lie. Some of you have prayed, you have heard. You know, God has mercy on you. After a while, you say, I am the Lord, I love you. As if you did not know that before you came to pray. You wanted to hear voices now? And the Lord said, I love you, get up from here, I'm going to read your book. I mean, you've heard something. You know, I'm trying to explain that. You can't force God to say anything. What did I say? You can't force God to say anything. And say, when you exercise your spirit, you become keen. Listen, when you become very keen, you'll be hearing, you know, there's so much traffic in the realm of the spirit. You will hear, boom, as an angel is chasing one demon away. You will begin to hear things. Just relax. You don't need very keen voice. You have to be keen. I've seen brethren getting confused. Anything they want to do, they pray until God says something to them. If I have a friend, say, I don't give until God talks to me. You say, you know when a stingy man is talking. I don't give until God talks to me. May God talk to them every day. You want to know how God talks? Somebody in need. God says, please, I'm hungry. So I won't give you until God speaks to me. And God's saying that, look, I've been talking to this guy and he's not even talking. He's not, because I come as a least of my brethren. Is that not so? People are getting very keen in the realm of the spirit. So, listen, you can't force God to talk. Moses waited and waited and waited. After a long time, he got tired. So you may be in a situation like that now. God didn't forget you. That's what I'm trying to explain. It just means that it's a time for quietness. That is God's quietness now. But what do you do at such times? That's what I want to explain to you. In fact, I mean, I saw just take some of my messages, like how to wait for God. All right? How to wait on God. I've preached that here and there. That's just what you do at such times. Get those, in fact, very good. I'll just summarize. I will not bother to say anything in detail. I'll just refer you to those messages. How to wait for God. All right? I have at least 3 different messages on that title. All right? If I want is how to wait for God, 1. Then the one is the soul that waits, being how to wait for God, 2. Okay? Now, notice something here. How was Moses waiting? First, he agreed to stay with Jethro. And the Bible says that in verse 21, he was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then he gave birth to his son, and he named him Gershom. For he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. Then many days passed, like we said. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. That's what I want to bring out. You will notice, when God spoke to him, let me just put everything together so I can end it here. When God spoke to him, and God didn't say anything again, you know the next thing he did? He married a wife. When God didn't say anything again, what's the next thing he did? The wife gave birth. When God didn't talk again, he had a child. When God didn't talk again, he began to pasture flock. When God didn't talk again, he kept on doing business. You know what he did? He was occupying until the Lord will come. Sitting at home saying, I'm waiting for God, is not Christianity. It's a joke. God did not have to speak to Moses to marry that girl. I pray you understand what I'm saying. It was just a sensible thing to do. God didn't have to speak to him that thou shalt have a son. If you marry a wife, the chances are that she will soon bear a child. You get what I'm saying? Yes, God didn't have to speak to him that thou shalt attend your father-in-law. That's family business. A lot of people are waiting. He go, God, what am I going to do? So what are you doing? I'm waiting on God. 1 week praying and fasting. I've told you, speak in tongues from now till tomorrow. Doesn't guarantee any talk. Let me tell you the truth. You see, because I know Pentecostal, they have preached it one particular way. I will give you the other side of it. It may not be popular among the Pentecostals. It is a matter of fact. All right? When God was going to speak to Moses, Moses was not expecting it. Listen, unless you are a prophet, let me explain what I'm saying. You must understand this. Sometimes people read some people who are actually prophets. Like now, let me just say it straight. You read somebody like Kenneth Hagin. That man was a prophet. You may hear prophets say something like when they stir themselves up. Do you understand? All right? Then they begin to hear God. It's because they are prophets. It's like anytime I stir myself up, I can preach for 100 hours nonstop. I'm not kidding. If I pick notes, books, that is, I have jottings. When I wasn't going around teaching, I used to just write my sermons down. You know, just idea, just come to me. If I pick those things down, I have a few books in the house like that. If I sit down like this for 10 minutes and I read through them, I can preach for the next 5 hours. I'm not exaggeration in that too. I picked the book of Malachi yesterday morning and I was just telling my wife, see you, this is Malachi I have read, do you know how many times? What am I saying? Because it's my ministry. Once I stir myself up, if I feel like messages don't drive from my mouth, all I need is one day rest. A day's rest, that's all I need. And I don't mean, you know, some people go and say, hey, Kababa, God, give me a message. I don't need that. Just me, I don't. What do I need? Just toss me any book you find there. Whether I can hang, you know, Watchman Neo, Miles, anything, just toss it to me. Or a Bible. Let me cross my leg. 15 minutes later, I'm ready. When a prophet does the same thing, I have friends that if you mistakenly join hands with them to pray, they will see a vision for you. And they are not white garment church pastors. Just let's join our hands. Oh, you are traveling now. Okay, let's begin to pray. Let's just join our hands. And you pray 15 minutes at the end of the day as we were praying. As we were praying, I began to hear and I began to see. And I saw this. I'm serious. I'm very, very serious. So Christians say, man, that brother is spiritual. So you too, if you pray long enough, you go begin to see something. You won't see anything. If you see anything, it's going to be confusion. If God doesn't say anything, what do? You do what is reasonable. Your name is Moses. You're an old man now. You have nowhere else you are going. You're going to stay in a house that has 7 daughters. Don't cause problem. Marry one at the beginning. 7 daughters. You're going to cause problems in that household, man. So the father understood. He said, oh boy, I don't want to holler here. Don't want to hear stories. He asked me first, I don't want to hear that story. Sit down now. Let's agree. You're marrying that one? Yes, sir. Okay. Gave him Zipporah. Well, I'll stop. And say, oh no, God has not spoken to me to marry any of these 7 girls. Then pack out of the house. How can there be 7 girls in one house? God didn't speak to you to marry one of them. What's wrong with your head? And you want to be living there? Hey, single guy. He wants to live in the house. That's 7 girls. With Jethro. Oh boy. Now so why did they start to? Let's see, you go see sisters fighting. They've never fought all their lives. What's the cause of the fight? Moses. If you don't want to marry any of the girls, go somewhere else. Go back to Egypt. If you are staying here, you pick one. Wake up in the morning, which free food? What do you think your father-in-law is doing? The girls will go and they go, are you a lion and they are lionesses? They'll go for hunting, you go sit down for house. The reasonable thing is get up and follow them. When God didn't say anything, when some people wake up in the morning, God has not spoken to me to tend sheep. He will soon go back to Egypt. That is before the time. Then Pharaoh will catch you that time and behead you. When God hasn't said anything, let me end my message. Maybe if I have to, I'll develop it again next time. But this is the point. If he has not said anything, you can't force him to say anything. Say, Pastor Mark, what? Don't we need to pray so that we can hear? I don't know, maybe. But I think you just pray habitually. You hear what I say? What should you do? Pray habitually. Take a Bible and read it habitually. Take books and study them habitually. All right? After that, You do the things that are reasonable. If God doesn't speak, you know what it means? You know what it means? It means he does not have to speak. Let me say it again. If he does not lead you by supernatural method, you know what it means? You don't need it. I'm going to say something. It's going to make some people feel funny. Listen. In fact, let me talk to you. Pastor Chris. If you like a woman, she loves the Lord. Amen? Olayinka thinks she's nice. You ask Israel, Israel says it's okay. You understand my point? And everybody says that it's all right. And you pray, pray, God doesn't say anything. You know what it means? Just marry her. There's no need. You know what God is saying to you? What do you want me to say again? Do you like her? Yes. Your friends like her? Yes. She loves the Lord? Yes. You've been to their house a few times. They throw hot water after you? No. And you're praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, is she your will? God said, man, I'm not saying nothing. After 1 year, see, I'm counting. One guy will soon come now. I'll spoil this whole deal. Brethren, sometimes they pray too much. I pray you will understand what I'm saying. There are times when God doesn't say anything. Eh? You know what it means? It means I don't have to say anything. It's different from when he says, thou shalt not marry. That one, they put in the house of Jethro with 7 girls. Tell Jethro, I can't live here. I'll work for you, but I'll stay on the other side of town. Jethro said, why? Because thus says the Lord, Moses, thou shalt not marry. Do you understand my point? I pray you catch what I'm saying. Your life will be much easier. I mean, you can imagine somebody looking for work. You don't have work you are doing. You don't have. Door opens. Good door. You pray, Father, Elka, Abba, Asha, is this your door? The Lord doesn't say anything. The Lord said, do they steal there? No. Is it a wicked place to work? No. Do they pay money there? Yes. Will you be able to help people there? Yes. If you apply now, they are going to employ you? Yes. They are asking me whether it is my will. And hunger blasts you twice. You say, God, while I'm waiting for your will, let me just start this job meanwhile. No, say, all right. Was that not the point I was trying to make to you? No, Christian Pentecostals, they love whisperations too much. Whisperations. My son, that shall wake up this morning and go to work. Shh. My son, when you wake up, first thing you do is brush your mouth. Shh. And it comes, and still very spiritual. And I woke up this morning, the Lord began to say, of the different colors of toothpaste in this house, thou shalt use the blue one. Amen. Praise God. And I brushed my mouth. And as I began to walk, God said, you shall wear a tie that shall make you look nice. You know the problem? He's feeling spiritual. At the end of the day, those of us that God did not speak to, we brushed, we wore a nice shirt, and our tie is even finer than his own. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Hey, I hope you got me today. I hope you got me today. Listen, when God didn't speak to Moses, what that meant was that the situation I've placed you in right now, be occupied with it until I come. And don't forget this. It is not the intensity of your prayer to force God to come that will make him come. If anything, the only role you have to play is being faithful in that which he placed in your hand. When the bush will start burning, listen to me. Like I told you, I know a lot of Pentecostals, I sound too unserious for them. All right? But this is the truth. When the bush will start burning, you wouldn't need to be spiritual to notice. You hear what I said? When the bush will start burning, you won't need to be spiritual. You get what I mean? It's curiosity that took Moses there. And God did not speak to a man with a trained spirit. He talked loud so that Moses heard. The one that you have to check, is it the voice of God or the voice of an angel or the voice of the Holy Spirit or is it a satanic voice or is it a temptation? God never talk yet. You have to fine-tune your spiritual character. Are you getting my point? There is no training for the voice, for the spiritual ear, to know which one is God, which one is not, in that sense. The only training that you need is the development of your spiritual character. The Bible says you will, by experience, know how to discern between that which is good or evil. As you are developing, you know, oh boy, they don't do like that. No, I told my wife these days, because of my experience over the last, well, maybe a year or two, I'm more open now to counsel people. I still do that, but of course, I don't counsel strangers. It's still against my religion. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But I just realized that things I thought were common, that everybody should know, many people don't know them. Not because they are stupid, not because they are wicked, not because they are slow, but because they are not as experienced as I am. And the mouth of a priest should keep knowledge. People should be able to get direction, all right, from his mouth. So I told my wife these days, I did very open. He tell me, I'm not saying you come and queue up now, no, let me rest again. I'm just trying to say, I'm more open now than I used to be because I realize the amount of help I can be to people who just ask me questions. But what I use, I want to emphasize, it's not because I trained my ears to hear a voice, but because I trained my heart to understand the ways of God. And experience in life helped me to be able to discern between that which is good and what evil. Why did I say that? Don't wait tuning your ears on when God will speak. The day the bush will burn around you, you will know.